ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam
ba bu ba bu ba bam to you and yours.
This is the part of the ba bu ba bu ba bu ba bam song I like the most, when the band starts really kicking in. Like, you just have Ema singing, and it's great, but I like when the band goes, can we also join in? And then they do.
Hit it.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. This is the show. It's the bonus hour. It's the stream of consciousness. You can only hear this online or on your filling, if you have your filling specially aimed at our studio.
You know, they don't give you metal fillings
anymore. They don't do that anymore, do they? What are fillings made out of?
Porcelain. Now?
Like the old days.
Yeah, because you
like
could pick
up
signals.
I like a metal filling. So when you eat tinfoil, you feel it.
My brother did that to me in the middle of church one time. He said, whispered, you know, hey, something really cool. Okay. Are you kind of bored in church? Yeah, a little bit. So he took a piece of, it was Juicy Fruit, I believe.
Yeah.
Took the foil wrapper and he goes, fold it up into a little square. Do you have any fillings? And I said, yeah. Okay, well, fold it into a little square and then bite down on it as hard as you can. And I did it like an idiot, and I thought my head was getting electrocuted.
Why do people keep doing things like this to you? And I'll admit I'm one of them.
It's my own fault. I let people, I am way too trusting.
Why do people pick on you this way?
Because it's easy to pick on me. If it wasn't easy to pick on me, although you'd think since it's so easy, it wouldn't be a challenge or fun for you anymore.
Right.
But no, you like it.
It's still fun. But I like to think I'm the only person that would do this to you.
Oh, no, my brother and sister did it to me growing up all the time.
Your family does it, casual acquaintances, people on the street. They just keep picking on you. I don't understand it. I don't like it, and I don't understand it.
But you'll continue to do it.
And if I wasn't so busy trying to bring Eric and Kathy together, I would work on this and make sure that the people stop bothering you.
You say that, but you know what?
What?
I just...
What?
Listen, I know when you're on the radio, you become a staple of someone's life.
Sure.
People... We're their radio friends, Bill, and I'm fine with that. And and people get to know us depending on how much we reveal. I reveal more than anyone in the world.
Planet. Yeah.
That's why I think I get picked on so much.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah, that could be it.
But, you know, no one knows what's going on in somebody else's house. And I feel sorry for people who are in the spotlight and want some not in the spotlight time because everybody gets mad at you.
Right.
You're in the spotlight. You're supposed to tell us what's going on. What, you know, what... Are you, again, are you going to ever get a colonoscopy? And if you do, are you going to do it on the air? No.
I am going to get one. It will not be on the air. I always have treated colonoscopy, you know, this procedure. I've always treated them as a very private matter. I'll let everybody know when I have it. But
oh,
I don't
God,
want
we
it,
can hardly wait.
I don't want it to be on CLTV. I don't want it to be.
You're no Katie Couric.
No, I'm no Katie Couric. I'm nowhere near as sprite-like as Katie Couric. Nowhere near.
I enjoy her.
Katie Couric? Mm-hmm. Oh, she's great.
She is pretty great.
She's great. She's great. All right. There's much to discuss, so let's start discussing. First of all, there's a story out of England that I find so peculiar.
Hello.
Would you please comment on the story in British, please? Mm-hmm. That would mean the world to me. This is just plain strange, and hold on, because I need glasses to read it.
It's wackadoodle.
Is that the British term for strange, is wackadoodle? I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
It has to do with a woman named Lavinia Woodward. Now, I know that I will tell you the story, and you'll say to yourself, well, what's strange about that? But everything is strange about this. She's a 24-year-old woman. She goes to Oxford University. She committed a horrendous crime. But they're not going to do anything to her because they say that her future is too promising.
Okay, well, who cares? She wrecked the future.
Right, exactly. I'll give you some of the details. Now, keep in mind, she comes from a wealthy family. She's extremely attractive. She has almost everything in the world going for her, but she did something horrible. But as you'll soon find out, they refused to prosecute her. She's not going to jail because they have deemed her that her future is too bright.
Here's these must the not be terrible crimes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right. Can't wait to hear this.
An Oxford University student who stabbed her boyfriend.
That's pretty bad.
That's bad. That is bad. Could be spared jail because she has an extraordinary talent and they've decided that it would ruin her career.
What, is she going to be a cutlery expert?
You're so close.
A chef.
No. Who else works with a knife?
A surgeon.
Yes. Yes. Lavinia Woodward.
Maybe she can do your colonoscopy.
I'm not 100% sure I trust Lavinia Woodward. I mean, she's been carving people up left and right, but I don't know if I want to be part of that. Lavinia Woodward, age 24, stabbed her boyfriend in the leg with a bread knife before throwing a laptop, a glass, and a jam jar at him, or marmalade, as they say in Great Britain, Wendy, during a row that was fueled with drinks and drugs. They don't mix.
All right, well, that's your future. Why are you drinking and doing drugs if you're going to be a prominent surgeon?
That's part of the problem, is you got to plan ahead.
Yeah.
She did not. Lavinia Woodward, who we said is 24 years old, is a student at Christ Church College at Oxford. She met her boyfriend there. They met on Tinder, it says here. The aspiring heart surgeon pleaded guilty to unlawful wounding at Oxford Crown Court, an offense that would normally result in a custodial sentence. So normally, as you know, Wendy, from experience, if you stab somebody in the leg, you must pay the piper. You know that, right? They get a piper, they get a guy with a flute, and they say, please pay Jeremy. And then you do.
A butter knife is not very sharp either, so that needed some force to go in.
If given your choice of...
Get stabbed by a sharp knife. That wouldn't hurt as much.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess so. If Lavinia Woodward said to me, I have 6 stabbing instruments, you choose the instrument.
It slices, it dices. Pick your model.
Right. Right. But Judge Ian Pringle, heir to the potato chip fortune,
chip chip,
has delayed sentencing for 4 months and indicated that Woodward may not be jailed because of her potential.
That's unacceptable.
I don't think it's acceptable either.
I mean, a lot of us have great potential and screw it up.
Right.
Look at us.
Prime examples. We could have been anything. We chose not to be. And we hear about it from our loved ones on a daily basis. The court heard her college will allow her to return in October because she is that bright and that her articles have been published in medical journals. So the school is aware of her stabbing problem, that she sometimes stabs people she loves, but they're not rejecting her admission to school. They're saying no.
Well, that's not fair to the other students at that school unless they keep her in her own room.
No, they're not doing
that. Well, that's unacceptable.
They are welcoming her with open arms but not open legs because she would stab them. The judge said, it seems to me that if this was a one-off, a complete one-off.
What does that mean?
That means if it happened just one time, a one-time incident. But it's interesting that a judge in Great Britain, because I always picture them wearing those white powdery wigs and very official looking robes. A one-off is something you and I would say, not a high-ranking judge in England. They wouldn't say one-off, but he said it a couple times.
I would never have said that. I would have said first-time offender.
Right. More official.
One-off. That's more British than here.
It seems to me that if this was a one-off, a complete one-off, to prevent this extraordinary, able young lady from not following her long-held desire to enter the profession that she wishes to, would be a sentence which would then be too severe, said Judge Ian Pringle. What you did will never, I know, leave you, but it was pretty awful, and normally it would attract a custodial sentence, whether it is immediate or suspended. So he's saying that just the mere fact that she has this on her mind, that she stabbed him, that's punishment enough. But
no.
It's not.
And what if she doesn't go on to be a surgeon because she stabbed someone else?
Right. Would you want a surgeon
no.
who had a history of stabbing people?
Depends what they're operating on.
Right. If she only did leg surgeries, I'd go, oh, all right, I get it.
Well, open heart surgery, they have to open you up.
No, that's true. But does this, I guess the surgeon does have a hand in that, right? It's not, they don't get prep people to come in. I've never had open heart surgery.
I would assume they're not using much of a stabbing motion in open heart surgery.
Anyway. Right, it's
no.
more of a calculated. Of a,
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Follow the dotted line that they make with a Sharpie.
Hammer plate operation, I mean, there's no stabbing involved.
The surgeons are the ones that do that. I've had various surgeries, and they're the ones that do the cutting.
They do the cutting open, too?
Yeah.
I'd bring in, like, a...
A cutter?
Yeah. Like, you know how in baseball there's guys that are setup men and closers and...
Closer's a guy who stitches it up, by the way. And the doctor, well, sometimes the doctor does do that. It depends.
Yeah.
I've just had knee surgery.
And you know that your surgeon did all the opening and closing?
I guess not. I was out of it.
You were, yeah. Did you pay the extra $40 and get the video?
I would have if they offered
it. Is that an option?
No, but I would have. They
That's
took
a good
pictures.
Side business. Isn't that a good side business? You'd have that on videotape?
I would like to see it.
Wrong. That it would be all on videotape.
Well, then you wouldn't release it. But right. if it was just a routine surgery,
right?
I'd want to see if I came to.
Yeah.
Boy, maybe they should release that.
That'd be great. They should definitely do that.
Because, you know, a lot of people find out, oh, somebody did weird things to me when I was under,
right.
you know, sedation.
Yeah.
They could leak it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get leaked.
It'd be on TMZ. With a story about Alec Baldwin's brother. So as I'm telling you this story about this woman, Lavinia Woodward, who is not going to jail despite the fact that she stabbed her boyfriend in the leg because the judge, Judge Pringle, says she's too gifted, she's too talented, she's going to be a surgeon someday, we can't have this hanging over her head. What do you think? Tell me what do you think she's going through during this? She's in the courtroom, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? No. You know where she is? She's in Milan, Italy, vacationing with her mother.
All right, this is not...
How privileged is this woman? Like, you would imagine during a case that's so important to her life, she'd maybe change her travel plans just a little bit to be there in court. If not required, I would think she'd be required to be in court. Nope, she's in Milan, Italy with her mom, taking a vacation.
Where'd you get this story?
UK News from Yahoo. I don't subscribe to the USA version anymore because it's all Florida stories. I like my stories to be spread globally, not just in Florida.
Yeah, I can understand.
It's ridiculous. The court heard that Woodward met her now ex-boyfriend. Oh, they broke up. That's sad. I always let any time, now this is prior to being married, anytime I was dating somebody, they get to stab me one time, and I look the other way.
They get a one-off.
Right, they get a one-off. But the second time they stab me, I go, hey, can we discuss where our relationship is heading? Because you keep stabbing me.
So a one-off, you're forgiving. A two-off, you
I'm
have
gone.
A conversation. No, you said you had a conversation.
Oh, right, right, right.
A three-off is when you're done.
Right. Stab me once, shame on you. stab me a bunch of times. I'm heading for the exit. I don't need
it. Doesn't rhyme. You got to work on that.
Right, I'm still working on the rhyme part of it. The boyfriend, after being stabbed, called Woodward's mother on Skype for help. Ah, oh, these kids. There's no time to pick up a phone. You got a Skype?
Wait, he called her mother before the police?
Yeah.
That seems...
Do you know what your daughter did?
Right. Your sweet daughter... You know what your sweet daughter did? Stabbed me in the leg.
That's weird. They would Skype.
But then Woodward punched him in the face picking up a bread knife and stabbed. Oh, this was prior. I got my sequencing wrong.
She's a hothead. She should not be a surgeon.
Wendy, I'm thinking the same thing.
She punched him in the face. She threw a computer at him.
Yeah, and stabbed him in the leg. I like my this is me. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But I like my surgeons to be slightly more even-tempered.
I agree with you. You're not wrong.
She then hurled a laptop and a glass and a jam jar at him before scratching and stabbing herself with the knife.
Okay, there are some issues involving her that she should not be trusted with anyone else's life.
She's, well,
is that a British?
She's crumpets. In England, you're not crackers, you're crumpets. This girl is crumpets. And I will testify. Can I get a witness? I'm not a witness, but I'm here to testify. This girl is crumpets. I will say that in a court of law. To judge.
You're speaking in limericks today.
To Judge Pringle. Defense QC. I think QC is Queen's Court. I think. I'm pretty sure.
I like when we're in your brain sometimes.
Defense
it's
QC. Because we don't have an equivalent of that in the U.S., but I think QC. Because QB is Queen's Bench, so I think QC.
It's quarterback.
Well, in America it is.
In England.
In England, they don't have quarterbacks. They don't even know it's called football. They call it soccer. They're very backwards. Defense QC James Sturman said Woodward's dream of becoming a surgeon was almost impossible if convicted.
Well, she should be convicted.
Yeah.
Please follow this story, because if she gets off on this,
yeah,
then we need to write a letter to the QC.
Right. The QC is going to hear from
DQ.
Us. Somebody British. Is Arthur Treacher still alive?
Unfortunately not.
Because he's getting an angry letter from me if he is.
Please keep up with her name, and we should look into this, because this seems absolutely wrong.
This should not be easily forgiven, should it?
Nope.
Lavinia Woodward, 24. If you see her, call the authorities. Yeah, she's dead to me, too. All right, we'll talk to Judy Pilak next. We'll find out what's in the news. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, Judy. I know you don't, this isn't fair to ask you because you don't have information in front of you, so we won't ask for updates, but I have some comments about something that happened in Naperville on an Amtrak train yesterday. I got these alerts throughout the afternoon that a conductor was shot. Some more information that has been gleaned today was there was a 70-something-year-old man on the Amtrak train. They made a stop at the Naperville station, and the conductor had gotten off to help people exit the train. The 70-something-year-old man opened the sliding window on the Amtrak and shot the conductor point blank.
Nothing happened prior.
We don't know at this point what the motive was.
We still don't know the motive. And the conductor, thankfully, is going to be okay.
Right.
Shot in the stomach.
Okay.
It was kind of a crazy scene there yesterday. Because at first we didn't know if it was a Metra train or an Amtrak, because some stations, both trains stopped there, right?
Yeah.
All right. When I first heard the story, though, you wouldn't think that someone on the actual train was shooting. How do you get, I mean, Metra, I don't know. I haven't taken a Metra train in a long time. Do you go through...
There's no screening process at all. You just get on the train.
Okay, but Amtrak is more like, you know, a longer trip.
Isn't there
some kind of security?
I don't think so.
That's scary to me.
Well, I'm not sure if you can have a gun on... I would think you couldn't, but, you know, we do have concealed carry now. Everywhere. I think Illinois was the last state, right?
Yeah.
So, but I would think that on a train, a passenger train, you couldn't, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, it just seems like in a public place where, I don't know, I guess it defeats the whole purpose of concealing carry.
Yeah, can you imagine but going through any kind of detector to get onto a Metra train or maybe more of an Amtrak? Yeah. I don't even know that, I'm just not sure. This is a great question, whether Amtrak checks bags. You would think they would check the bags as well.
I don't think they check bags.
Right? They don't even go through us.
There has to be something because
you don't give them your bag. You take your bag with you right on Amtrak.
I guess.
Yeah.
I love Amtrak trains, by the way.
Do you?
The few times I've been on them, they're just so cool.
Yeah
they're...
I went to Illinois State, and that was, if I didn't have a ride home for the weekend, that was, usually I got a ride home, but then I'd have to take the Amtrak back. And it was pretty great, because you could just drink on it and take a
sleep. Same with going to Carbondale.
Yeah.
I remember one time the train just dropped off my bike.
It did?
Yeah.
What?
I had my parents put my bike on the train.
Did they have to get a ticket for it?
I don't know. I think it was more of a package deal, because it came off the package part, below.
Oh.
So the conductor just said, here's your bike, Judy.
Wasn't your bike
10-speed, yellow 10-speed?
Wasn't your bike's goal to see the world, though? I remember you telling me your bike always wanted to travel.
Next up on a plane. but anyway, so I do. They are cool. But getting back to the story, there are a lot of details still not known about that.
There's always security, like at the at Ogilvy Center. There's security that's very easy to see, but nobody's checking to see who's got what.
Well, you know
on
what
them.
Though? Those the if you notice the guards, especially at Metra with the dogs, obviously. They're trained dogs, and I'm going to say they're sniffing for bombs.
For bombs,
yes,
but not sniff
guns,
for guns.
Right, yeah.
There's, you know, it's just a really weird world where you have to trust everybody. I mean, seriously, I'm kind of surprised there's not more situations going on. Even driving in, you know, my soon-to-be 18-year-old son has not been in a hurry to drive. We went out last weekend. He knows what to do. He's just not comfortable enough with it yet.
I have a son like that. He still isn't comfortable at 23.
He doesn't have his license?
He does, but he doesn't like to drive.
Yeah.
He does drive, but I can tell he would prefer not to drive. He would prefer to take public transportation.
Well, think about it. When we started driving, it feels, in my opinion, that cars have probably quadrupled in amount. There are more cars out there than ever. Rush hours now start and go at, from 2:30 in the afternoon till 7 at night. It used to be, what, 5 to 6 was rush hour? There are more cars.
Think about the roads even. There are some expressways with 6 lanes.
Yeah.
It's so much more. So, yeah, you can kind of see it, right?
And that's what I was explaining to Michael is, you know, you got to really, you know, look all over the place, check your side view mirrors, because if somebody in the right lane cuts you off, you need to know that you can pull into the left lane. So just kind of keep track of everything. And then I think what really set him off a little bit was I said, you really kind of have to trust everybody on the road to do what they're supposed to do. And he goes, well, how can you do that? And I said, well, you can't. You got to be on the lookout and be a defensive driver. Because think about it every day, how you trust every car next to you, and there are hundreds of them from your doorstep to here.
Your life is in the hands of everybody who's driving around you all day, every day.
I think about that. I don't want to drive anymore.
I know. And let me tell you, because I drive to work every day, I still cannot believe the number of people on their damn phones.
Texting
and talking. And, I always give them the look when I go by or I beep. Because that is the car that is going too slow.
Right.
Or weaving in and out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are you still doing this? I mean, I'm sure people once in a while will check, but these are people literally with their finger texting.
Right.
But no one's, that rule is not being enforced. Wasn't that just in the news too, that they're not enforcing that at all?
Yeah.
Of course they did to me the first week it came out. I was on Lakeshore Drive. I got a text from my kid's school, so I looked at it because I thought, oh my God, is something wrong? And then pulls me over. I'm like, you've got to be kidding.
What a bummer.
It was like the first week it went into effect. It was like a $250 ticket.
If only it had been the second week, then they would have.
I know. They're looking the other way.
Yeah.
How can they not see what we're seeing every day?
Because they're not. I'm on the Eisenhower. I rarely see a police officer on the Eisenhower. Usually it takes a shooting to get him out there.
I never thought I would make a good policeman. I just wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
I would be a terrible policeman. But if they would
just
take me.
Can you imagine people be like, can I go now, please?
Yeah, go ahead. But if I were, I would want the job of just pulling over people that were texting while they were driving, because I'd make so much money that way.
And it would be so easy.
It'd be so easy.
I know.
It's amazing.
I think they could, you know, if you say, no, I wasn't, I mean, you just look at your phone.
Right.
It's so easy to prove.
All right, here's the question, though. And seriously, I am not one to say anything terrible to a police officer. If I get pulled over, I'm the one that will admit to something I didn't even do just because, like, I offer way too much information.
Kidnapping? Yeah, that was me. You caught me, coppers.
Here, take me.
Coppers.
But if they said, you know, if I say, I wasn't on my phone, if they say, can we see your phone, you don't have to give them your phone.
Right.
They'd need a search warrant for that. Correct?
Yes.
But if they were arresting you for that, they could confiscate your phone.
Yeah,
if it was if that was an issue of proof.
Oh, then you show it to them.
Yeah.
Do anything but confiscate my phone.
Yeah, that's your lifeblood.
I mean, that happens a lot, especially in fatal accidents. They get a
Well, they should be able to check that.
And unless you destroy the phone, which would kind of be a guilty move right there, you're not going to be able to wipe it or, you know, do anything, and then they can see the timestamp.
But they can go to your carrier. They don't even need the actual phone.
Right. Yep, there you go.
Because there are times, I'm sure, in an accident that the phone is smashed.
Yes, and I know in many, many cases they have used that phone evidence to...
As it should be.
...get a guilty, yeah. You know, speaking of getting pulled, I just got pulled over, like, last week.
I heard you were late to do our news or something, and somebody said, oh, she got pulled over.
Yeah.
I would not want to be the officer to pull you
over.
I'm
telling you, when those lights go on, my heart was like,
sure.
And I knew I was going kind of fast.
So speeding. We've all done it.
He was so mad at me. I mean, he was just mad. And like you,
were you going 150?
No, I was going, he said I was going 67, which I do not think I was going. And you know how the Eisenhower, it goes into the construction zone. So you go, and it's the Eisenhower. You better know how to drive on the Eisenhower.
Right.
So I'm always defensive.
Right.
Yeah. And I was probably going a little faster when I entered that construction zone. But I mean, I drive it every day. And then I go to Lower Wacker. So the thing is, I heard like a, and I looked over and there was a pickup truck. And I'm looking at the guy like, what?
Yeah.
With that look of mine, like,
yes.
Stupid.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want? And yeah. I just kept driving. So then he gets behind me, and I didn't even realize it was a cop.
He was in a pickup truck?
Yes.
And see, that's not fair either, the unmarked
cars. No, but he,
cars.
I think he had lights. I just didn't notice. You know, I'm on the Eisenhower. I'm looking ahead. But when I went to get on a lower whacker, he pulled me over. And he came out and he was like, oh my God, you were going so fast. And you were right on top of that person in front of you and blah, blah. And I was just like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Was I? I just totally, I never, never give him any lip.
But he,
I don't either.
Because someone said, you know, you can, this is a good tip. You can ask to see. If he said you were going 67, I could say, show me. Because they said, if they do clock you, they never, they always like, they forget to
little,
set it.
Oh.
So if when you go back and look, it's not there anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's
all
a good
right.
Step.
So you want to say, if he says you've been speeding, you want to say, show me the gun?
I wouldn't. Yeah, you can say that, but I did not say that.
I wouldn't recommend
either.
That.
I was very contrite. He took my license. He came back and he gave me a verbal warning.
Oh.
You're pretty.
I said,
bad.
Yeah.
Did you say you were going to be on the WGN Walk of
I
Fame?
I did not.
Right.
I said, you know, I'm a WOF. Walk of Famer. No, I said.
And he said WTF? And you go, no, WOF.
And he was like, no, I'm telling you, WTF. So anyway, yeah, I just was like, I'm so sorry. I drive this way every day. I just, you know, I guess I must have said, I didn't realize. And when he came back with my license, he was like, it really bothers me that you said, I didn't realize it. Because obviously then you're not realizing what's going on around you and yada, yada, yada. And
see, but in a weird way. You are very lucky for that. And
I have nothing on my record.
I know, but still speeding, it's like when an officer pulls you over and says, you know, I would never say, oh, yeah, show me the radar gun. Mm-hmm. I would, because I know I'm speeding pretty much every single day. So right. I would be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Because I know.
I? Wow. 67?
I knew I would be. Yeah. I just don't.
Now, see, to me, 67 just on the Ike would have been okay, but in
not
that
the construction zone.
Because it was like 45 and then it went down to 35. And then he was mad at me because I pulled over and where I pulled over. Now you pulled over here and someone can come and smash into my car. I mean, he was just mad.
Well, you should have said, well, then you shouldn't have pulled me over here.
It's exactly.
This one's on you.
Whose fault is this?
I'll let you go this time.
And I don't know what to do about that either when you get pulled over, because I know your common sense says, well, I'm going to move up a little bit and go where there seems to be a break and I won't obstruct traffic. But then in my head, I have so many scenarios going. I'm like, they're mm-hmm. thinking I'm evading them and they're going to put their gun on me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, oh, she's, you know, she's fleeing. Breaker 19. We have a, you know,
Breaker
Honda Civic.
Or all the truckers come.
Right. Whatever.
James Spader's trying to leave the scene of the crime. James Spader. At our last radio station, there was a day where I'm heading in. I was in the afternoon shift, and for some reason there was just extra traffic. And I started out late anyway, and I just got later and later. And then I'm on a stretch of highway right before the highway, where the guy in front of me is doing about 15 miles an hour, and it's a 40 mile an hour zone, but he's going so slow, and I couldn't pass him. I tried everything to get around him, and he just keeps going slow and slow and slow, and I'm honking. So then I never used the phone when I'm driving, but I needed to call to say, I'm going to be late. There's no way I'm going to make it on time. And as soon as I pull out the phone, that car in front of me puts his lights on. He's a cop.
Oh, my. Right. Well, can I tell you?
That's entrapment.
You know, because he was honking at him and going, come on. Listen, I know it sucks to be behind someone who's going. We have a family joke. It's like they're driving two, because that's what it is. It's like 2 miles an hour.
15. I was looking
but
at
it's dangerous. Those people
I know,
are dangerous.
But you honking and tailgating him is
right.
also wrong. But what else do you do? That's when you get a crappy car and ram into their bumper.
So his lights are on and he signals for me to pull over. And he goes, first of all, you're a very inconsiderate driver. And I didn't say anything because he's a cop.
You didn't respond with, do you even have a license?
Right. He goes, second of all, did I see a cell phone? I go, I don't know if I'm supposed to answer that or not. And he goes, no. He goes, I looked at my rearview mirror, and I think I saw a cell phone. And I said, I was calling to let them know that I was going to be late because there was a car in front of me, your car, that was going very, very slowly. He goes, well, I'm surprised you didn't flip me off. I go, I couldn't. I was steering with one hand and using the cell phone with the other.
I would have locked your ass up.
There was no finger to flip at you, sir. I was busy.
I really would have given you every ticket in the book for that attitude.
Did you get any tickets?
I didn't get any tickets.
You are so lucky.
I said to him, I said, look, I don't know the law as well as you do. I said, but I was in a situation where I could not get around you, and I was doing everything I could to get around you, and you weren't letting me around you. I said, I'm not saying you were trapping me, but it kind of felt like a trap, sir.
What did
he
say?
Let me go. He goes, it was a trap. I wanted to see how you'd react under that situation. I go, I don't think I did real well, did I? He goes, you did not do real well.
Well, then why didn't he give you a ticket? His whole point was moot then.
Look at the smile, Wendy.
Yeah, go to court with that. Go to court with that one. Your Honor, I was testing the driver behind me. I mean, that was really a jerky move.
Actually, you know what his phraseology was? And this is brilliant. When he sees that I've got the cell phone and he pulls me over, he walks to the car and he says these words, I'll never forget this. He goes, well, 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 is this the best day of my life or the worst day of yours? Isn't that's like out of
classic.
That's like out of a movie. That was too good to be true.
Oh my gosh. Were you just like, are you a wannabe comedian? Because I am a comedian.
Right. No, I applauded his words. I go, You are a wordsmith, sir. You should not be wasting your time driving 15 miles an hour.
See, but right there, that would be my cue that I could probably get out of this. I don't know. And I think
Bill's response is kind of snippy.
It was.
But, you know what, though? Yeah, he was. It's not like he rammed him, which is maybe what I might have done. I'd just give him a little push.
I don't want to drive next to either of you two. I'll tell you
just
that right now.
Just a little motivating push.
Again, let me reiterate that I drive on the Eisenhower. It is.
So do I every morning. Yeah, I go Costner to Eisenhower.
Okay, then you know. You better be a good defensive driver.
Because stuff is coming at you from every direction.
Like bullets sometimes, and I look at no one.
Yeah, I don't either anymore. I really don't.
No, I just go on.
And my windows are up, and especially on the Eisenhower, because I drive home on the Stevenson. And that, for many years, things were falling off of trucks and killing people. So that was going on the Stevenson.
Yeah. You've got trucks to worry about. You've got people with guns.
It's pretty
people
scary.
People texting.
So you have to decide which of those lanes you want to be in. Do you want to be in a lane with guns or stuff falling off
of
trucks?
No wonder you take the train.
Right.
I think I just figured it out.
It's a lot easier.
Oh, I missed the train.
Yeah. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Believe me. Judy, thank you for sticking around and for being a model citizen.
Neither of you are.
Still no tickets.
A week from tomorrow, we will honor not just the fact that you're a great broadcaster, but also a pillar of the community.
That will come up.
That will
hopefully
definitely.
Did you get a dress yet?
I'm just going to wear what I have.
Yeah?
I mean, what is it going to be? A couple hours?
And it's usually like 120 degrees out there.
This will be a good one.
Showing off the arms, the guns?
You got to. Access Hollywood's coming.
I'm going to start dieting right now. Right after I eat my spaghetti that I brought.
Right after that. Thank you, Judy.
And have two of Kim's cookies that she brought. So you guys might want to stop in. Yeah, they're delicious.
Stopping in. All right. Thanks, Jude. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And you have a big night on tap, don't you?
Well, unless I mess this up, it should be a lot of fun tonight, Wendy. All right, so we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but the PowerShares Tennis Series is at the UIC Pavilion tonight. Four of tennis's greatest players of all time are squaring off. John McEnroe, Mark Philippoussis, Jim Courier, and Andy Roddick. They will be playing in the real match, but prior to their match, four Chicago media...
Legends.
Thank you.
Celebrities.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of famous people here in Chicago. And, you know, once Oprah left, it was just the Wild West here. So, you know, if they're looking for celebrities, there's not much to choose from. But I'm part of it. I'm proud to be a part of it.
So your doubles team is you and...
Kelly Krull from CSN.
From Comcast Sportsnet.
Comcast Sportsnet.
And then your challengers, the team of Mark Carmen.
The evil Mark Carmen. Who is evil.
You're getting in his head.
He is...
not evil.
I think he's evil incarnate. And then...
Brooke Weiss...
Brode.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right. And she is from ESPN.
Yes.
Right. So it's a winner-take-all. Losers must leave town. Can no longer be a broadcaster in the city of Chicago for 100 years. So there's a lot at stake, and we start at 5:15, and then if you purchase tickets, you could see our match at 5:15, and then the big guys, the big guns, and they're on after us.
I wish I could go. My son Michael is up for an award at the Theater Board Awards tonight, and again, he may not be a winner, but I have to go, because if he wins and I'm not there, I'll feel terrible.
How would that look? So go to that.
And you're a big boy. You can handle it on your own. And I said this before. I bet My money's on you, but
oh,
now,
thank you.
But now I might be changing my mind.
Why? Based on what?
I didn't see. I wish Kelly Kroll was in the studio, but I forgot how athletic Brooke Weisbrod is. And
she's in perfect grade A shape.
And Carmen is a decent tennis player.
Yeah. I'm going to send him a tub of whipped cream right before the match.
All right, my money's on you again.
All right, good. I'm going to do whatever I can to weigh him down. And I am not above, when we talked to John McEnroe, I said, can you get in his head? John McEnroe is Mark's favorite player, and just the mere fact he's in the building is one thing, but if McEnroe says something derogatory toward Mark, it'll crush him. So I'm going to try my best to get John McEnroe to say something to ruin his day. Is that underhanded?
Yeah, I don't like the way you play. And it's with both hands, I know.
Yeah, I'm ambidextrous.
Yeah, we know.
Left-handed, then right-handed.
We all
know that. Left-handed,
then
right-handed.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
I hope you win.
I hope so, too. Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be great.
It really will.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Good luck.
So thank you, Wendy. I appreciate it. All right, that's today's show. Tomorrow, big stuff all day long. Huge stuff.
Can you name one?
You know, it's a very controversial topic, Wendy, and other shows are afraid to talk about it, but we're not. Doodling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. So we will undercover the seamy world of doodling.
No, it's actually good for you.
It
and I doodle. You can check all my notes in the studio. I doodle all day through the show.
Yeah. Yep.
So mainly little pictures of you with clown hair.
That's not weird at all, is it? Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill. Good luck.
Thank you.